Good afternoon. I'm Alex Degman, and this is The Rundown. Federal prosecutors want a 30-month prison term for a man who fired a gun near immigration agents toward the end of Operation Midway Blitz. Hector Gomez will be the first person sentenced in a case tied to the deportation campaign from last fall. Gomez's attorneys are pushing for a lesser sentence of 18 months. They acknowledge that the Mexican national will likely be deported after he serves his time. The appointment of Dr. Garth Walker to lead the Chicago Department of Public Health has sailed through a key city council panel. The health committee unanimously backed Walker after a mix of praise and questioning. Northside Alderwoman Maria Haddon says Walker has a big task leading a department that's endured a pandemic, federal funding cuts, and leadership changes.
This department has been under pressure like no other for several years. The next commissioner for this department is going to have to deal with all the core goals of the public health emergencies that we have happening, as well as a recomposition of the morale for this department.
Walker previously worked in the Biden administration and as deputy director at the Illinois Department of Public Health. His appointment now heads to the full city council for a vote. People who live in Chicago's most heat-vulnerable neighborhoods will soon have improved cooling options. The Chicago Park District and Mayor Brandon Johnson announced a $1 million effort to add or upgrade air conditioning systems in Parkfield houses across the city. Block Club says improvements are planned at 42 different parks on the south and west sides. Parks were chosen using the Chicago Heat Vulnerability Index. It identifies areas that suffer the most during heat waves. A new analysis says Illinois residents lost nearly $8 billion to sports betting last year. Sports betting was legalized in 2019 as part of Governor J.B. Pritzker's gambling expansion bill. Illinois Answers Project reporter Casey Toner tells WBEZ's In the Loop that gambling's on the rise.
The state of Illinois has legalized it. And in many ways, I think they've cleared the path for gambling companies to operate. The gambling companies are taking advantage of that. There are technologies available that did not exist 100 years ago.
Toner says the ability to bet money from a smartphone has created challenges for people who are problem gamblers. State lawmakers allocated $15 million for the treatment of gambling addictions in last year's budget. With the elections fewer than 4 months away, Republican gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey is taking a shot at Governor J.B. Pritzker's distant past. Bailey posted on social media yearbook photos of the two-term Democrat and a classmate in the early 1980s. With a caption that reads, "Funny things on your knees" and "Drugged for drugs." In a statement, Bailey's campaign says voters won't find that kind of language in Bailey's high school yearbook. Pritzker seemed to ridicule Bailey's attempted political gotcha, posting the same page on social media with a cursive note that reads, quote, "This was a great year. Thanks for the reminder, Darren," end quote. The MLB All-Star Game is tonight. My WBEZ colleague Noah Jennings has the details on Chicago's representatives.
Four Chicago baseball players will be on the field tonight in Philadelphia. The Cubs will be represented by their star center fielder Pete Crow Armstrong, his second straight appearance in the All-Star Game. And the White Sox will have three position players in the game for the first time since 2006. When the rosters were first announced, third baseman Miguel Vargas was the lone Sox named to the American League squad. But since then, two more have been added as injury replacements. Those are outfielder Tristan Peters and first baseman Munetaka Murakami, who appeared in last night's home run derby. It's the first All-Star Game appearance for all three White Sox. None of the Chicago players will be starting the game, but they'll likely come off the bench at some point. First pitch is scheduled for 7. Noah Jennings, WBEZ News.
You're listening to The Rundown. After Russia invaded Ukraine, Vladimir Putin's government made it illegal to criticize the war. But one Russian family couldn't hold back on their outrage. That led to persecution and a frantic effort to seek asylum in the U.S., a country with a long history of protecting Russian dissidents. Instead of being welcomed, some of the family has been in detention for almost 9 months. The rest of the family is in Chicago's northern suburbs trying to get them out. WBEZ's Anna Savchenka has their story.
From the very beginning, Dmitry Tselenyev knew the Russian government was lying about its war in Ukraine, and it made him angry. So he went live on his Instagram to speak out against the war. His wife and some of their children joined him. They voiced their dissent for months, even after Russia passed a set of laws making it illegal to publicly oppose the invasion. Those who did could be imprisoned for up to 15 years. But nothing happened to them. until this video went viral. Dmitry's adopted son is a TikTok star, and he sang the Ukrainian national anthem to millions of his fans. Soon, Russian officials were calling him a traitor, so he fled the country. The rest of the family was threatened and harassed for the next 2 years, until late one night in 2024. Dmitry and his family were chatting at their dinner table. That's when they heard a loud bang. They all ran outside. Someone had set their house on fire.
Хорошо, что вот не спали, а так там ветер сильный был. А тем более дом деревянный и сайдинг пластиковый. Мы сейчас просто сгорели бы и все живьем.
Dmitry says, it's a good thing we weren't asleep, or we would have been burnt alive. He reported the arson to the police. Eventually, he hired an attorney and filed an official complaint. But instead of investigating the attack, the Russian authorities summoned Dmitry and two of his sons to be questioned for speaking out against the war.
А допрос, это адвокат говорит, это уже уголовное дело, если допрос.
Dmitry's attorney warned him, they're opening a criminal investigation, and they're about to lock you up. The family fled to neighboring Georgia by bus. Dmitry, his wife, five of their children, plus their daughter's husband. They thought they were safe, until they learned the authorities were looking for them abroad. Dmitry says they quickly packed. They filled out 8 applications for entry permits to Mexico. It was the easiest way for Dmitry to get his family to the U.S. border. He wanted to bring them to America, a country he describes as the safest place for political dissidents.
Самое безопасное место, которое, ну, не политических именно активистов как бы не выдают, только Америка.
It took them 4 flights to get to Mexico.
С Тихуаны мы уже там купили машину и сели в машину.
From there, they packed into a Honda Pilot. It barely fit the 8 of them. They drove to the border and asked U.S. officials for asylum. They had made it. But then, the family was separated. Dmitry and his wife were sent to a detention center in Texas with their youngest kids. They spent 100 days there. Their oldest children and son-in-law were sent to a facility in California. They're still detained there. The family attorney says this is a tactic the Trump administration is using.
My personal belief, it's done on purpose to just to scare any future immigrants or just to force immigrants to self-deport.
We're not using her name because she fears being blacklisted by the U.S. government. So Dmitry's family had faced threats in Russia for speaking out against the war. They left to avoid getting sent to prison, and they hoped America would protect them. But their journey here had led to detention. After their release, Dmitry, his wife, and their youngest moved to a suburb north of Chicago. Their place hardly has any furniture, just a dining set that came with a house, and fold-out beds from a refugee agency. This is where they wait for their kids to call from that California detention center. Dmitry's phone rings. It's one of their sons.
Hello.
Hello, привет.
Привет,
привет, Сереж.
Привет, привет.
Че, как ты там?
Так, сижу.
While they're talking, Dmitry's wife gets a call. It's one of their daughters. She's in the same detention center as her brother, but they're in different units, so they barely get to talk, unless they call home at the same time, and their parents put them on speaker.
Вик, Сережка на связи.
Dmitry holds the two phones up close. His daughter asks, how are the little ones doing?
Снятся детям сны, что что-то там происходит.
Dmitry tells her the kids are having nightmares, that they're scared something bad might happen to her. Dmitry had hoped the worst was behind them. In April, though, the detained kids and son-in-law went before a U.S. immigration judge.
Мы рассчитывали, что дети выйдут, отсудятся. Естественно, мы...
Instead of releasing them, the judge refused to grant them asylum.
А получается так, что наоборот, еще хуже стало.
Dmitry says, everything was just getting worse. Their lawyer says they had a strong case because of how much evidence they had. The news clips about the arson attack, the summons for questioning. But the judge said that wasn't enough to prove a risk of arrest in Russia and ordered them to be sent back. Maxim Krupski is a legal scholar at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. He says if the Russian authorities open a criminal case against someone who publicly opposes the war,
then it is virtually certain that these person will be arrested on Russian soil and subsequently convicted in the criminal case.
The family is appealing the judge's denial of asylum, but Dmitry says the process can take years. In the meantime, he feels like his family is serving a prison sentence.
Ладно, заключенные, они сидят за что-то. Они понимают, сколько им сидеть, за что они сидят.
Dmitry says, at least prisoners know how long their sentence is. But Dmitry has no idea when his family will be released. And even though he's free, he feels like he's in detention right along with them. Anna Savchenko, WBEZ News.
Alma Campos helped report this story. Clear skies are forecast tonight. Expect lows in the upper 70s. Another hot day in store for our Wednesday with highs for most of us in the upper 90s. Slightly cooler at the lake. You can find the latest news whenever you want at WBEZ.org or on your radio at 91.5 FM. I'm Alex Degman. Thanks for listening.